Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
English football has seen some scintillating siblings. The Neville brothers, Bobby and Jack Charlton, Carl Court and Ruben Loftus-Cheek. But none of them cause carnage like Kolo and Yaya Toure.
Look who's through the middle, it's Toure!
The Ivorian legends hoovered up silverware, led secret double lives, and shagged in supermarket car parks.
Toure, then it goes, Toure gets in!
This is the story of football's friskiest fraternity. Hello, Zach.
Hey, Jack.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Tommy Hilton, journalist and Man City fan.
Hello, pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Tommy. So you're a proper Man City fan, yeah?
Since, I am a proper Man City
since fan. Before, you know.
Despite my southern tones, I am... Zach can testify that I've been a City fan since birth. My dad's gave me no choice in the matter.
So me and Tommy watched the Man City title win in 2012 together. It was me, you, your brother and your dad were at the pub. And obviously the whole family's like massive City fans. And your brother left when you went 2-1 down. He's literally just like, I can't do this. I can't watch. Left the pub. And then obviously they turned it around.
It has been brought up at the Christmas dinner table since. And the front door has also been painted sky blue since that memorable day.
Of it. Yeah. Where did he go? Was he just pacing the streets?
Well, he claims that he ran into a pub on the way home when the third and seminal goal went in, but I'm sceptical.
What do you think he heard the cheer?
He heard the cheer
was
and he ran
cheer?
In. There was a cheer, because back then we used to be popular. The man on the street, even in Southeast London, supported us.
Sadly, I remember being on your side. I mean, it was probably because I was with you and your dad, but... Like I'm not a City fan at all, but I just got so into it at that moment.
Yeah, and stick one up Fergie's United. It was still like, everyone was still sick of United.
A lot of happy middle-aged Arsenal fans, I think, back then. Again, not so much anymore when we win things.
Yeah. So do you remember, the days when City were shit?
Yeah, I went to, that's one way of putting it, but harder times. Yeah, I went to Main Road. Dad made sure that we got to Main Road before it was sadly demolished. It was a great place. Dad used to call it Mecca. I remember our Sean Gota, Sean Wright Phillips went to school with Zach and was a local hero. So we had a lot of ups and downs. But we had some great teams back then. We were never good, but we were fun.
Yeah, you had some cult heroes. Yeah, Georgie Kinclancy is the one I remember from, maybe that was a bit earlier. He was a real cult hero.
I've been to Georgia and they've got pictures of him knocking about. He was brilliant. I mean, before my time, but very, very good footballer.
He's like the Georgian George Best, isn't he? Wasn't he a bit of a, maybe we should do an episode on him. He ends up getting relegated twice with City. Didn't you have that double relegation?
We had a double relegation and then Paul Dickoff rescued us against Gillingham in the what's now League One and went double promotion back up.
Romantic times. All right, going up the glamour scale quite a lot from Paul Dickoff, we're here talking about the Toure brothers. It's the African Cup of Nations is on at the moment, so we thought, why not focus on two of the greatest African players to grace the Premier League? I guess it's them, Drogba, you know, you probably put Daylight after them in terms of like the most successful African players.
Yeah, I'd say they're probably the big ones I can think of in the Premier League at least. You got, I mean, Samuel Eto'o, but by the time he came, he was kind of past it really.
Yeah, didn't light up the league like these two did.
These boys.
Yeah. Well, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's go. So Kolo and Yaya grew up in Bouaké, which is the second biggest city in Ivory Coast. So both of them played for a local team called Mimosas. Which is a fun name.
It's a party drink.
Yeah. I was thinking they were in the youth team, which I don't know if the youth team is just known as orange juice.
Mimosa is also a flower, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I think that's what it actually is.
Yeah.
You think of it as a bottomless brunch ingredient.
Your mind's been corrupted
by your metropolitan existence.
Exactly, yeah. It was quite a legendary youth team that Mimosas had at that point. So they had Kolo and Yaya Toure, Jovinho, Manuel Abue, Salomon Kalou, Didier Zakora. So basically all the big Ivorian players that you think of. Of that era, there was the big youth team. So Yaya and Manuel Abue end up signing for Beveren, the Belgian side that people might remember from our episode about Graham Stack. So Beveren at that time, they had this like really strong connection with Ivory Coast for some reason. In 2003, they had a team that was made up of 10 Ivorians and one Latvian for a league game.
Presumably the fans got really into that. You're like wearing orange and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if there was like any kind of city link to Ivory Coast or...
Well, because like what's Wolves' deal with Portugal? They always got Portuguese players. It's kind of similar.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to the Latvian? Did he come via Ivory Coast?
Naturalised Ivorian. Yeah. But yeah, so Yaya plays for Beveren, played for Metal Donetsk in Ukraine, played for Olympiakos, Monaco, before finally actually made it to Barcelona. Kolo, on the other hand, goes straight to the top. So in 2002, he was invited for a trial at Arsenal. And at this point, Arsenal were chasing the title, I think they're battling Man United for it. They go on to win it that year. But Kolo's invited along to this first team training session. And for him, this is like his big break. Like he's in there with Thierry Henry, Bergkamp, Pires, Vieira. So these like players that he's grown up idolizing. And he's really up for it. And first tackle in the game, he takes out Thierry Henry. Like apparently it was like a red card tackle. Thierry's on the ground. And Wenger's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, Kolo, like, no kicking. So they kind of like switch things around. They want to just like get Thierry away from Kolo. Like, we need to protect him. 2 minutes later, takes out Bergkamp with a similar tackle. And all the players are there just thinking like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Like, we're chasing the league title. We can't have Thierry and Dennis Bergkamp out injured by a fucking trialist. So Arsene Wenger calls him over and is like, Kolo, please, like, no tackles. Kolo's like, yes, boss. So the game carries on and the ball spins up and lands at Arsene Wenger's feet. And Kolo, without even looking where he's going, flies in two-footed, takes out Wenger. Wenger goes flying. And Wenger gets like taken off to the medical room. And apparently Ray Parler was telling this story that Toure was basically in tears. Like, he's got his head in his hands. Like, this was his big chance. He's flown all the way over from Ivory Coast to be here. And he's now 15 minutes into this training session. He's taken out Thierry Henry, Bergkamp and Wenger. So Ray Parler says that after this, he went into the medical room and Arsene Wenger's in there with like an ice pack on his foot. And he goes up to him. He's like, look, boss, I really don't think he meant it. Like, give him another chance. And Wenger just turns to him and says, we're signing him tomorrow. I like his desire.
But someone like told him to be really intense. Was that like the prank?
I don't know. I think he was just like, he was just so up for it. Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
The rest is history.
Yeah. And so he signs for Arsenal at that point. And in the 2003-2004 season, he really cements himself in the team alongside Sol Campbell. He plays every game of that season. It's Arsenal's invincible season where they go the entire year unbeaten. So he's a legend in Arsenal fans' books just for that season alone. He makes 225 appearances for Arsenal. They eventually hands in a transfer request after falling out with Galas. So Galas had signed from Chelsea and I think he thought he was the bee's knees. And Kolo and him just like didn't see eye to eye. Kolo said that throughout his career, you have times where you fall out with players, but on the pitch, you like put it aside and it's all right. But he says with Galas, like, they refused to even talk to each other on the pitch. So he kind of reached the point where it's like, okay, one of us is going to have to go. And Kolo's like, okay, I'll do it. So Man City come in for him in 2009.
So post-takeover?
Yeah, this is post-takeover.
I think it was 1 year after. Right. It was when he came in with a lot. Was that the year that they brought Tevez and others in, I think?
Yeah, so City make Kolo Touré captain when he joins and then they strip him of it and give it to Tevez instead.
It's a harsh world out there.
Yeah.
Also, is Tevez a good captain?
I know, I was thinking that because I swear Tevez pretty sure he doesn't even really speak English. Yeah, I don't know how inspiring his team talks were.
Yeah, he never spoke English, and it transpired. He claims it was for patriotic reasons because of the Falklands.
Yeah.
This is a good excuse as any.
Good reason, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite like, I'd always just assumed he was a simpleton, but it turns out it was like a peaceful protest in the mould of Gandhi.
Yeah, I think both could be true in this instance.
Yeah, maybe. Anyways, it's just as well that they do strip him of the captaincy because disaster is about to strike. So in his second season at City, Torre's kind of lost his place in the team at this point. And I don't know, maybe he's feeling a little bit self-conscious about that, because in a moment of madness, he decides to pop a few of his wife's slimming pills.
We've all done it.
Yeah, we've all been there.
What is a slimming pill? Is that a thing?
I know. I don't know, yeah.
Shane Warne got done for it as well.
It's a cigarette, isn't it? I don't know.
It's mimosa.
Shane Warne got done for similar, didn't he? And Adrian Mutu as well.
Yeah.
Adrian Mutu, who obviously got banned for coke, then got banned again for taking his mum's diet pills or something.
Mixed in with the coke or
something? No, this is a separate era.
Different seshes.
Yeah, different sesh. Daytime sesh.
Yeah. Probably the coke on its own it probably slims people out a bit. But anyway, unfortunately for Cole, he gets hauled in for a drugs test and gets banned for 6 months, which... it was a blow for him because he'd already kind of lost his place in the City team, I think, at that point. And it was, kind of, I don't think he ever really recovered at City. But nicking her diet pills wasn't the only thing that Colo was hiding from his wife. So in 2010, Colo meets a 22-year-old student called Kessel Kasayo in the 2 a.m. drizzle outside Bijou nightclub in Manchester. I don't know if you've... you familiar with Bijou?
I can't say I am. Maybe no. I should have been. My university days in Manchester weren't around Bijou, sadly.
No. More of a warehouse project.
Saw Kolo in there a few times.
4 a.m. with his popping his wife's slimming pills.
Yeah, just getting thinner as the night progresses.
And then off to Bijou in the rain.
Yeah. To chat up some students. But Kessel doesn't recognise Kolo, and he introduces himself to her as Francois, a Ghanaian car salesman who's recently moved to Manchester as a student. And she says at some point, like, sure you look a little bit familiar. And he's like, oh yeah, I mean, you probably know me from my charity work in Africa. Anyway, they get on well and they swap numbers at the end of the night, and they arrange to meet up the next day. And they do, and they kind of spark off this affair that goes on for the next 2 years. So Colo goes round to her student flat. I'm imagining some like grotty bedsit in Fallowfield. Apparently he'd always turn up in a baseball cap and aviator sunglasses so no one recognised him. And he always called her from a private number so that she didn't waste her money calling.
I mean, that's a red flag if your boyfriend won't give you his number. Yeah.
He'll sell you a used car, but he won't give you his number. Yeah.
Francois, you're so mysterious. Yeah. That's probably part of the appeal.
Yeah.
He's off doing charity work.
Yeah. He's got a great bod after those slimming pills.
So she has no idea.
She has no idea. So this is, she says that he used to like lavish her with sexy lingerie and jewelry. And one time he apparently got down on one knee and gives her a diamond ring. He insists that it wasn't an engagement ring, it was just just a declaration of his love. He is married at this point, I should say. So at one point, after they've been going out for a couple of years, and then Colo just disappears for like 3 months, and Kessel's like, oh, what's going on? I mean, I guess it was always a bit of a weird relationship, but maybe that's it, maybe we won't see him again. And 3 months later, he reappears, like drops her a text, and they meet up, and he's like, oh, I was just back in Ghana selling cars. So she's like, oh, okay, sure. The truth, in fact, was that he was back in the Ivory Coast marrying his actual wife.
God.
Which is, naughty Colo. Another what you would think might have been a red flag in their relationship was that Colo insisted that Kessel never took any pictures of him. So the only photo that she ever got of him was a shot that she snapped of him coming out of the shower. For the benefit of the table, we're looking at a picture of Colo Torre peering out from a behind a shower curtain, and it looks, it looks like a student flat.
Yeah, room, you can smell the mildew. Yeah. Really,
I'm getting nostalgic about Fellowfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all lived in that flat at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Strange men poking their heads around corners in your house.
So none of our housemates were football fans, I guess.
No, so this is what happens. So he gets caught out in the end because she shows this photo to a friend, and the friend looks at it and is like, well, that's Colo Torre. So at that point, I have to say, like, if you haven't seen this picture before, please Google Colo Torre shower, and you'll see this picture. It's brilliant.
Because he's looking so startled. So her friend's just like, yeah, that's
Colo Torre.
Title winning. Invincible defender.
Yeah. Married man.
Yeah. So then she Googles Colo Torre and finds these pictures of him like lifting the Premier League trophy, and also finds pictures from his wedding like 3 weeks before. That was then the game's up for Francois the Ghanaian car salesman.
Did she just never hear from him again at that point?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, obviously you could make a case that this was quite a scummy move from him, but I have to say, credit, most footballers rely on their fame to meet romantic interest, whereas he's done it as a used car salesman just outside a nightclub. He's got real charm, is my point.
Yeah.
And diamond rings as well.
Yeah, and the diamond rings, which do help, but no phone number available.
There was also the similar story of Sylvain Distan.
Yeah.
Sylvain Distan had a secret lover who he told was a milkman.
I mean, you could pick a sexier job than that.
Yeah.
And also, aren't they notoriously untrustworthy men who
milkmen
fornicate with people's wives?
That's true. They're not to be trusted.
Bit bad boy image, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost exactly what he's doing. Maybe he's living out some sort of fantasy.
Yeah.
Also, he's a Man City defender as well, wasn't he?
A fellow City legend, ethical men. We like
specifically the centre halves who are living these weird double lives. How did he get caught? Same story, I imagine.
I actually can't remember.
I mean, you're a footballer. You're going to get recognised at some point.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that Colo kept this up for 2 years is pretty impressive.
2 years of going out with someone who disappears randomly, private numbers you, and doesn't let you take photos of them. You must be a bit like, I don't know, something's not right here.
Yellow flags at least, surely.
Orange.
But was this his only affair, or was he, you know, kind of...
No spoilers.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll return to that topic shortly, but first, Yaya. So Yaya joins Man City in 2010. Which I guess allows Colo a bit of escape from his Francois identity. He's got someone who knows him back around him. So this is the same season that Balotelli joins. It's obviously a huge time at City. And Yaya had come from Barcelona, where he'd had a bit of beef with Pep Guardiola, who would later manage him at City. His agent, Dimitri Celik, had been stirring things up, and we'll return to Dimitri. But Yaya, I think, you know, by the time he joined City, he's like a world-class player, right?
Yeah.
Won the Champions League at Barca.
People were excited. I mean, that Barca team was stunning. When then, 6 titles, was it?
Yeah.
08, 09, and he was a big part of that, I think.
Yeah, I'd call that the greatest club team of my life, probably. Although I find tiki-taka really boring. But anyway, Yaya, like, in some ways, takes City up a level. And his finest season, 2013-14, he scores 20 goals. First midfielder to do that since Frank Lampard. City win the league, obviously. And Yaya's named City's player of the season, which for most players would probably be, you know, enough recognition from his club. But Yaya's not so sure. And a week after City win the title, they fly to Abu Dhabi for a meeting with the owners of the club. And they're all there. And it happens to be Yaya's birthday, the day they're flying out. And, you know, everyone has a nice time with the owners. But a few days later, Yaya's agent, Dimitri Celik, comes out and says that Yaya is livid and upset because the owners did not shake his hand or wish him happy birthday or get him a birthday cake. So we all remember this saga, probably. I'll just remind you of how it pans out. So Dimitri Celik talks to BBC and he says, nobody came to Yaya to say happy birthday. None of them shook his hand on his birthday. It's really sick. And then and then everyone's like, oh, is this agent a bit mental? But Yaya Toure then tweets, everything Dimitri said is true. He speaks for me. I will explain after the World Cup. And the BBC are like, okay, this is pretty weird. And then suddenly they find a photo showing that Yaya received not one, but two birthday cakes from the club. So on the flight over to Abu Dhabi and at the team hotel, Sissi did give him a birthday cake. So they asked the agent, they're like, well, you said he was annoyed about not getting a cake. And Selick says, yeah, they didn't say thank you. They didn't shake his hand. And then he says, for Yaya, a car is not necessary. Money is not necessary. Just attention. So everyone's like, what? I'm still a bit unclear on what happened. I think... Basically, possibly Sheikh Mansour or Khaldun Al Mubarak, who is the chairman of City, didn't come up to Yaya at the party and said, like, you know, happy birthday. They probably did say, thanks for the 20 goals, well done on winning the league, which for me is probably more important. I'm not a birthday guy. Some people really, you know, those people who like, they have a birthday week.
I'm a bit one of them. Me and Yaya, you know, similar kindred spirits.
You might regret saying that at the end of this. How kindred?
was this episode mentioned in the books? So Tommy's read a unofficial Yaya Toure biography,
A Legacy of Greatness
by
Kathy Dixon. Shout out to Kathy Dixon, Living All of Our Dreams by self-publishing a biography of Yaya Toure.
Does she mention Kategate?
I mean, she's more on the football accolades. I think we need to balance it out with more of the.
Yeah, we don't do much drama. Of that. I said he scored 20 goals. I mentioned that.
Yeah.
Didn't he score something like 9 of the 10 free kicks he took or something?
I can't remember. I mean, I actually had a season ticket that year, and he was. I mean, he was phenomenal to watch. I remember mainly kind of striding up the pitch and pinging them in after like 1-2 with David Silva.
Yeah,
that's
he
the
was
kind of main
so
memory.
Watchable, wasn't he? Mm. Yeah.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Anyway, Yaya Toure later does a massive 180 on this cake thing when he sees it's kind of blowing up in his face. And he actually meets with Khaldun Al Mubarak, the chairman, and apologizes. And he says, even to this day, it hangs over him. He said, when people see me in France or Africa, they ask me, do you want cake? But I think it was mainly a power play about getting a pay rise, because his agent did it every year. He'd be like, oh, Yaya's really unhappy, and then he'd sign a new contract
again about the birthday every year.
But why fixate on a cake if he did have two?
I think he thought it was a good opportunity. And actually, the other thing he said when Roberto Carlos was in Russia, I think the owner of that club gave him a Bugatti. What is that, a motorbike or like a supercar? What is a Bugatti?
I might have lived in Abu Dhabi, but I've never owned a Bugatti, so don't look at me.
No, no petrol heads on the sofa.
Bugatti, it's a car. Yeah, it's like the most expensive car.
Yeah, it's like half a million quid. Yeah, yeah. And he said to the BBC, like, well, Roberto Carlos got that. And then Roberto Carlos's agent got asked about it, and he was like, what are you talking about? Like, what's that got to do with anything? What's that got to do with a birthday cake?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think what they did is they didn't shake his hand, and he was actually quite annoyed about it. He's a birthday guy. Anyway, while Yaya's not getting enough attention from his club, in his personal life, he's got the opposite problem. His phone starts being bombarded with texts from horny admirers propositioning him. And he gives an interview to the tabloids where he says, I've had to change my phone number to escape from these women. I'm very much a stay-at-home person. My wife is enough for me. I like peace and classical music. I don't want to tire my spirit listening to loud music. So he's like, you know, I'm a real family guy. I'm not into that. Which, you know, all sounds very charming and impressive until later that year. So I think we're in 2015 now, when an escort named Sandra Ntoya gives a kiss and tell interview to the tabloids. And Sandra says that Yaya found her listing online, where she describes herself as tremendously kinky, unlike most Africans. So I guess it's quite a religious continent. She is African, I should say. She's not just randomly criticizing them. And she says, I excel in giving pleasure to those who demand the very best in quality entertainment. Which to me sounds like a Netflix press release. But I think she's got something different in mind. Anyway, she then describes meeting with Yaya. He was very polite and took his shoes off at the door. I made him a coffee and then he gave me £160, which is a bit extra. He was quite nervous, but once he got going, he was fine. He kept saying he wanted to change my life for the better, but I did not ask how. Guys are always saying that to me. So I think that's some sort of post-coital guilt there. Anyway, so she talks about sleeping together, and she said, like, they did it a few times. One time they meet in Sainsbury's car park, drive to a country lane, and they have a bonk in the car, in Yaya's car. But the alarms keep going off in the car, and he keeps, like, knocking the gear stick and loads of buttons. It's like setting the hazards and the windscreen wipers off.
He's got long limbs.
Yeah, he's a big guy. And, you know, in a car, it's tricky. Anyway, she says that kind of gave her the ick, and it didn't happen again after that. I don't know why that's a problem, but yeah. I guess it implies...
surely that's like, one of the hazards of shagging in a car.
Yeah.
Is that, especially with a guy as big as Yaya.
Yeah, I guess maybe she found him clumsy, is the point she's getting out. That seems harsh.
Have you seen him striding up through the midfield?
There's nothing clumsy about him. Anyway, so that's the end of her and Yaya, but... One person who gets wind of this before it makes the papers is Kolo Touré, Yaya's brother. And he decides that he'd like to see Sandra as well. So Kolo gets in touch and she takes him to the very same Sainsbury's car park in Wilmslow, which is quite like a posh suburb of Manchester, isn't it? Leafy. And they shag in the car in the Sainsbury's car park. And she says, Kolo has sex like an animal. A few times he called me just to ask, am I good at sex? And I have to say he was. He's sex mad. He's always bragging he has a bigger manhood than his brother. So I guess it's like a brotherly competition thing.
Yeah.
Now
they've both ended up at Man City, maybe Kolo's feeling a little bit overshadowed. Because obviously, like, Kolo sort of made it in the big time before Yaya, like, part of the Invincibles team. Probably Yaya was at that point lining up for like Beveron or someone. Yeah. So he's feeling like a bit of a nobody.
And
Kolo's older. So then Yaya's sort of come from behind and usurped him.
He's also taller.
He is taller.
So do you think Kolo is trying to reassert his older brother status?
Sounds like Sainsbury's car park is the place to do it.
Yeah.
Should you need to prove your macho quality.
I'm also seeing the Kolo Touré Gallas fall out in a different light now. Only room for one centre-back with Sandra.
She does say she has a number of other footballer clients, but she doesn't name them.
So. Do you know if the Sainsbury's car park was during the day?
It was at night.
It was at night.
It would have to be, surely.
I mean, they still have deliveries at night.
I mean, as we've learned, Kolo Touré is a brazen guy. He's like, happy to pose as a used car salesman called Francois.
Selling cars in the car park and then having a bit on the side.
Even for him, I think that's hiding in plain sight, isn't it? Doing it in Wilmslow car park.
Yeah. Or do you think maybe he got to know the car park because he was down there in his like pretense as a used car salesman, like looking for
Ford Focuses. Used cars. Yeah.
This will be a good spot to challenge my brother's manhood.
I mean, he is returning to the scene of the crime, so you know, Yaya used the same car park. Although Yaya drove to a country lane, which I think is a bit more romantic.
Reminds me of the story of Gary Lineker down a country lane. That this was with his actual wife. I think it was when he was starting out at Leicester, and they'd been given these little like Fiats, and Gary Lineker took his wife out and they were like going for a drive, and they pulled up in a country lane, and you can imagine what happened next. But then at some point they were like getting to it, and he just heard a knock at the window. It's like, all right, Gary, how are you getting on in there? And it turned out that Gary, on the side of this Fiat, was plastered Gary Lineker, LCFC.
Hiding in plain sight.
Didn't Peter Shilton he was cheating on his wife, and he was smashed outside a pub, and he was shagging a woman in a car. and like a policeman was walking past and knocked on the window. And Shilton panicked because he was over the limit as well. And he tried to speed off, but he had his trousers around his ankles and got like caught up and crashed into a tree or something, didn't he?
Yeah.
There might even be more to that story. I can't remember it. Anyway, a lot of footballers in car, shagging in cars yeah. stories.
There's a theme.
Yeah. Tune in for a special episode on that at some point. Sandra does say one more thing about Colo. She complains, stingy Colo gave me a £10 tip. My window cleaner clients pay more. So his reputation doesn't escape unscathed. Poor old Colo. Anyway, both players pretty much ignore the story. Yaya sticks to his, you know, his line that he loves peace and classical music. But later that year, there are more negative headlines. It emerges he fathered a child with a Parisian woman. There's actually quite a nasty element to this, which is that she says that when she asked for child support money, he said she had to send him naked pictures in exchange, which is pretty grim. And a few months after that, Yaya is spotted making three night stays to see a girl in Essex. So I don't know how the tabloids track him down there. And a neighbour says, the girl lives there with her family. He visits for 3 days at a time. She's stunning. And there's a photo of him emerging from the house. Slight shades of Carlo's car salesman photo in the shower. It's like quite a candid, you know, it's just like emerging.
Long lens.
And he's just coming out of like quite a normal suburban house in Essex. I kind of wonder, do you think this family that Yaya's staying with for 3 days at a time, do you think they know it's Yaya Touré, or is it a similar yarn?
Yeah. The car salesman's brother.
Yeah. We've done milkman, Sylvester, and what's left? Butcher. Got a candlestick maker staying with us. Anyway, so at this point, Yaya's defence is starting to look a little bit shaky.
Yeah. This, my wife is enough for me. It's not looking so legit. And it's put to the test again. When he is pictured in bed with an R&B singer called Tanika Bailey, who performed with Stormzy, if you recognise the name.
Which track?
I can't remember. I think she was just like a backing singer. But she posts a picture of her and Yaya in bed, captioned Queen Nika and King Yaya.
It's a bit of a giveaway when he's married, isn't it?
Yeah. And his claim that he likes peace and classical music also comes under scrutiny. When he's pulled over for speeding in the early hours of the morning after leaving a house party in Dagenham. So police pull him over and breathalyze him and find that he's twice over the limit, which, you know, normally that would be just your standard football affair, except that Yaya is a devout Muslim. So obviously shouldn't be drinking. Eventually goes to court and he's fined £54,000. Which at the time was the largest fine for drink driving in British legal history.
Wow. Why is that such a big fine? Was he well over the limit?
I don't think so. I don't think he was that far over. I'm not really sure why.
Is it because he earns astronomical amounts? So
yeah,
two days wages or something.
Yeah.
And did he lie to them about
that? I don't think so. No, he was quite upfront about it. So it goes to court and he basically insists that he didn't know that it was alcohol. So he says that he was drinking from a jug that he thought was Coke, and it turned out it was rum and Coke. And you should kind of think, like, you can taste the difference.
But didn't he say, I've never tasted alcohol, so I wouldn't know?
Yeah, that was his
So first. He lied?
Yeah.
Maybe. I think that's why. I'm guessing.
Yeah. But anyway, he gets this huge fine. And in 2018, he leaves City. He's kind of dropped out of the team for the previous years, I think. And he's not too happy there. Obviously, they forgot his birthday, which is deeply offensive.
Never forget.
Yeah. So 1 month after leaving, he gives an interview where he says that Pep has a problem with Africans. So his full quote is, he's had a problem with Africans wherever he's been in the past. When the day comes that he picks a team featuring five Africans and not naturalized Africans, I promise I will send him a cake. It's just like an extra parting shot.
Yeah. Well, was Pep even there when the cake thing happened? It was Pellegrini, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. Maybe Yaya only recognises adulation in the form of cake.
Yeah. It's the only praise he understands.
Yeah. Do you reckon every time he turned up to this Sainsbury's car park? Maybe that's why he arranged it in a Sainsbury's car park.
We're going to grab a Colin Caterpillar.
They do.
That's M&S, actually.
Decent Victoria sponge in Sainsbury's.
Yeah, they do some good cakes.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's burning his bridges with Pep.
Yeah.
Is this just because he, I mean, Tommy, maybe you're best to answer this. Like, is this just because Pep gradually sort of pushed him towards the bench in a way?
I mean, Pep pushed out. I mean, obviously, he's now like considered a genius, and I, in a very biased way, would say rightly so. But there were quite a few players that he did push out that were both fan favorites and very good. I mean, Joe Hart is one that I always remember. He was. We used to sing songs about you don't drop Joe Hart, Super Joey Hart.
Really? That decision aged very well.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, I mean, I think Yaya. I can't remember exactly if there was one moment, but he was phased out despite having been one of our best players for years.
I thought he was just, you know, older.
Getting old. Yeah, I mean, yeah. How old was he at Kate Gate? 30 or something?
Yeah,
already?
31. It was his 31st 31. Birthday. Yeah.
There we go. So yeah. He was already getting on.
Yeah. Also, Aguero's dad, after Aguero left, made some comments suggesting Pepe pushed him out. Because you remember, there's the famous Pep crying interview that we cannot replace him.
Yeah.
And then his dad was like, that's a load of bollocks. Like, he forced him out kind of thing.
But so. Then didn't Aguero go on to have, like, heart problems about 6 months later
again,
or something?
It turned out to be quite a good decision.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty shrewd on those things. I think Yaya had fallen out with Pep at Barca as well.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Pep had sort of moved him on from there as well. Anyway, Yaya had taken it to heart, clearly, and read a bit more into it. And Yaya's agent, Dimitri Seluk, backed his boy with a vengeance, and he really cranked things up a notch. So Dimitri said, Pep has set all of Africa against him. Many African fans have turned away from Manchester City, and I am sure that many African shamans will not let Guardiola win the Champions League in the future. It will be like an African curse on Guardiola. So from this point, this legend grows that there's this curse being cast on Man City that they won't win the Champions League. And they keep on crashing out in these kind of ridiculous ways. They lose to like Monaco, Lyon. They lose the final to Chelsea, obviously.
Sad times.
Yeah. After the Lyon one, Dimitri Seluk, Yaya's agent, tweeted a picture of a Pep voodoo doll with a pin. the doll's making like a really anguished face.
Yeah.
This guy sounds brilliant.
Yeah, he's nuts. And actually, like, I always wonder, like, why is Yaya sticking with him? But they're super tight. Yaya names one of his kids after him.
Dimitri.
Yeah.
I always wonder, it's like, was there a curse on Man City? Or was it just Pep deciding to put like Edison up front?
Yeah. They call it the overthinking. It was always,
I mean, certainly that Chelsea game felt like that.
Yeah.
I don't like to think about it too often.
You don't have to anymore, to be fair.
Thank God.
It all ended well in the end.
We got there.
So in 2021, Yaya writes an apology letter to Pep where he basically takes back all these allegations that he's got problems with Africans. And then last year, Dimitri Seluk also came out and said, I want to apologise for this matter. I think it's time for this bitterness to stop. I can say that the spell has now been lifted by the shamans. And 1 month later, City win the Champions League.
There you go. Yeah. Evidence.
Owe it all to Dimitri Seluk and the shamans.
How do you think does he have a direct line to the shamans, Mr. Dimitri?
Yeah.
Seems
I don't know. He's got the voodoo doll, hasn't he?
Also, if you're trying to put the controversy to bed, probably stop claiming to be performing dark magic of any kind.
Yeah. Or was it just when he saw they're playing Inter in the finals? I should probably lift that curse now.
They're looking pretty good this season.
Yeah.
The curse might be wavering.
Yeah.
Apparently when he said that as well, Yaya then tweeted being like, please ignore this man, he does not speak for me. So obviously at some point have finally fallen out.
Yeah.
After both making loads of mad statements.
Yeah, he's a character.
Cakes and curses. It's a good, it's a good motto. Yeah.
So that's the end of Yaya's City career. Obviously, Kolo's finishes a bit earlier. He goes to Liverpool under Brendan Rodgers. He joins in that famous season where Liverpool should have won the league, but Gerrard slips. And this is also the era where it emerges that Brendan Rodgers is a bit of a cringe merchant, a la David Brent. So do you remember there was a documentary? It was one of the first of this new breed of football documentaries. Channel 5 followed Liverpool around. And Brendan Rodgers he tells the interviewer, my biggest mentor is myself. And there's a scene where he pulls out three envelopes and he's like, I've written in these three players who will let me dine this season. And that's my Brendan Rodgers impression. And all the players are like, well, we can see that those envelopes are empty. So I don't know what like mind games you're trying to play with us. And there's another story. I think this actually was at Swansea that Brendan Rodgers apparently used to give team talks entirely in Spanish and there were no Spanish speakers in the room, just trying to show off his skills. Anyway, they do pretty well. But this is, you know, the back end of Kolo's career. He's starting to fade as a force. There's a few nice moments. So they go on a preseason trip to Australia and Kolo refuses to hold a koala. They're trying to get him to like hold all these... Australian animals. And later in the press conference, they ask him why, and he says,
"I'm not really big fan of animals." You know, it was not, especially to the koalas, of course. You know, I have a dog which been to my house for 7 years. I never even touch him. You know?
Yeah, anyway, I found it quite charming. Carlo's quite like, he's really funny, I think, in interviews. He's quite like, he's laughing about the dog thing. And then he follows Brendan Rodgers to Celtic in 2016, plays a handful of games, and then this is his retirement. There's one moment where in a press conference, they ask Colo, like, what's your favourite song that you hear from the stand? You know, meaning they're expecting him to say, like, "You'll Never Walk Alone" or, like, you know, "Bye Bye Rangers" or something. And Colo misunderstands and says, "Oh, yeah, I really like Whitney Houston." And then they're like, "No, no, no, football fan chant." And then he gets the whole press conference singing the Colo, Colo, Colo.
I don't speak Scottish yet. The best song, don't laugh, eh? Okay, I like Whitney Houston, you know, and...
But he meant like the fans... The fans,
the fans sing. The fans songs, oh. Yeah.
But now we know.
The fans songs from all the club I've been to.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I will say I like the one in Mount City because that they are the one who start calling. Yeah, yeah.
So, ah, cool.
You know, I like that. Let's sing.
Colo, 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 colo.
Okay.
Nice.
Just love that he opens that. The clip opens with him telling a journalist, "Sorry, I don't speak Scottish yet." I love their accent as well. That like French West African accent. It's a really good listen. Anyway, so that Celtic's the end of Colo's career. He retires after that. Meanwhile, Yaya goes on after Man City to Qingdao in China, second tier side, who win promotion under Yaya Toure's leadership on the pitch. But in his final game of professional football, he gets sent off after 10 seconds.
10 seconds?
Yeah, he kicks an attacker as he's sort of like retreating. So it's after a needless bit of
10
violence.
10 seconds into the mat? Like,
yeah, yeah.
From kickoff, he kicks someone already.
I'm smelling a dodgy bet, I think. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's obviously been sent off within 12 seconds.
Yeah. Surely you think, if you're like lashing out at someone, that's normally, it happens late on in the game when someone's been like kicking you for the whole game, you get really wound up, but like 10 seconds in.
Do you think it was a player he'd had previous with and he was like, "This is my last chance, this is my last game."
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a faster man than me, just slightly, but to even get into the opposite half in 10 seconds, let alone take someone out.
It looks to me in the clip like he's retreating into his own half, like the ball's maybe even a corner against his team and they're all sort of running towards his own goal and he just comes up behind the guy and just kicks him right in front of the ref. Yeah, I think it must be settling a score.
Yeah.
How have you built up feuds in the Chinese league and once they play like 9 matches? Is it actually, I love a red card on a final game. There's another great one. His old Barca teammate, Gerard Piquet, who he was named as a sub for his last ever game. Everyone knew he was retiring and he was going to come on in the second half just to like say goodbye. But at halftime, he stormed on the pitch to argue with the ref about a decision and ends up getting sent off. And then with his final words as a professional footballer, he just tells the ref, "I shit on your prostitute mother," which I think is a common sweater phrase in Spanish, right? It's either that or it's very creative.
Yeah.
It's a great farewell. Anyway, Yaya finishes up in China, but his retirement is short-lived because he gets the call up for Soccer Aid and charitably agrees to pull on his boots one more time to play for the World 11. Unfortunately, the excitement of playing alongside Ed Sheeran and Davina McCall gets to Yaya a bit. And so the team make a WhatsApp group for the World 11. So it's a mix of sort of like minor celebrities and ex-footballers. And no one's really saying anything in the WhatsApp group. So to break the ice, Yaya posts a porn video, which one group member describes as a naked woman in a bath acting in a lewd manner. And then when there's still silence, he doubles down by suggesting that they hire 19 prostitutes to the team hotel for before the game. One per player. Apparently, it's just silence. And then people just start leaving the group. It's like Dermot O'Leary left. Jack Whitehall left.
I think Jack Whitehall would stay.
Yeah, he'd probably be just those two in the end. There were like some England women's players in there as well. It wasn't even just like a bawdy bloke's chat. It was just like, it was so obviously a bad idea. Anyway, he insisted afterwards, "I meant it as a joke." And he deleted the messages, but too late. they kicked him off the team and he never got his Soccer Aid swan song. And that was the end.
That is sad.
Yeah, that was the end of Yaya Toure's football
career. Like to have seen him kick someone after 10 seconds
Soccer Aid red card.
Yeah. Has anyone ever been sent off in Soccer Aid?
Surely. Or did you think they do it? Didn't Boris Johnson like rugby tackle a German player in it once?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Which weirdly made him more popular.
Yeah.
Yaya's now assistant manager of Saudi Arabia.
I saw this, yeah. I didn't know that. But Mancini took him over, I guess.
I think they're having a bit of a tough time because Mancini's dropped loads of the like star players who like were in that Argentina game in the World Cup, and there's a bit of a mutiny on their hands.
I've heard, yeah. I mean, he's doing everything via translator, isn't he? And I think it's not gelled from what I've heard.
I don't have any
specific sources on this, but from what I've read, as you may have, but yeah, I think it's not going well.
Can you imagine Yaya Toure being a good manager? Do you think he's going towards that?
He understands, you know, giving cakes to his players.
Yeah.
The stick and the carrot.
Yeah, he understands the carrot very well.
The chocolate carrot.
There's only so many times you can give someone a cake to inspire them before they need to try something different.
Before you escalate to a Bugatti.
Yeah.
No in between.
And do you remember Colo briefly had a foray into management? He was Wigan manager, but he was sacked after 58 days having not won a match. Which, yeah, tough break. Where are Wigan? Are they League One now? Yeah, they're League One. That's quite a tough gig. Tough first gig for Colo.
Wigan's not too far from Wilmslow Sainsbury's car park, though. So it's within touching distance.
I've got everything I need right here. But yeah, that's the Toure's career. I mean, it's obviously quite a sordid story in many ways. Like we've talked a lot.
That's the Toure's career. Yeah. that was the main highlights of their immensely successful football career.
Footballing greats.
We've whittled it down to them shagging in the Sainsbury's car park and posing as secondhand car salesman.
Yeah. Or should we talk about a bit more football?
Nah, I mean, that's not what we're here for.
What's Cathy Dixon said? Do you want to read us a couple of extracts, Tommy?
I'll give you a few.
This book's called Yaya Toure,
A Legacy of Greatness. She loves an adjective, I would say. I want to go back to Beveren where it all began, or after Mimosas anyway, after Mocktails FC. For Toure, Beveren became more than a mere club. It became a crucible in which dreams were forged and destinies were shaped. The lush green fields of Beveren Stadium bore witness to his metamorphosis as he honed his craft, adapting to the unique demands of European football.
Well, they're just like a mid-table lone farm feeder club.
I've seen videos of Beveren Stadium, but I wouldn't describe it as lush green pasture.
Also, the only other time we've mentioned Beveren on this podcast was two fans like scaling the fences and attacking the goalkeeper who then punched one of them.
Yeah, on those lush green fields.
A hallowed turf.
I think the one that does actually summarise his football, I mean, him and Toure and Silva were such a powerful duo. And Silva, I do think, has received more praise than Yaya, maybe because of Yaya's antics or, I don't know, falling out with Pep or whatever. But I really do think they kind of complement each other. And this, Cathy Dixon agrees, apparently. Their mesmerizing displays of skill, creativity and footballing intelligence left spectators in awe. They became synonymous with Manchester City's rise to prominence and represented the club's shift towards an era of sustained success.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue that.
Amen to that, I'd say. Yeah,
that's a very different picture of Yaya Toure than the one we've just given. It's almost like it's a different person.
Yeah, based on the one you've given, I'd like to distance my previous comments that me and Yaya are kindred spirits.
There was a bit of balance anyway on this pod, which is always important. Yeah. Do you think his era has been slightly overshadowed by the Pep De Bruyne era where, I mean, City have been even more dominant, even more glamorous, and the players have been kind of good as gold? Kyle Walker, admittedly.
I think for City fans, no, because there is still that. Obviously, it was such a big changing five years or so for us, and that kind of spine of company, Silva, Yaya Toure, Aguero will always. I think they are kind of legend status. I mean, obviously, De Bruyne and this new team also will be legends or are already. But from a fan perspective, I think we've also had quite a few more. I mean, someone like Rodri, for example, amazing footballer, but he's. It's quite anonymous, whereas I think Yaya Toure was a big character on and off the pitch, as we've heard. Mm. And maybe football-wise, I think De Bruyne, we've had some very good centre midfielders since, so maybe on a footballing level. But in terms of fans, I think he's still got a place in the pantheon. Yeah.
And there was like a chaos to that era, whereas now it is a bit bland. It is a bit like hyper-dominant and quite controlled, whereas then it was quite chaotic. I mean, like the Aguero goal, even the way Yaya played, obviously all this off-field shit.
Yeah, and we had players like Gareth Barry and Lescott. Like, you know, we had stars mixed in with quite average players. Mm-hmm. Or, no offence to either of those players.
Catching some stray fire. Joe Hart as well. I didn't come out of this great.
I think Gareth Barry was actually like underrated.
Yeah, is it Gareth Barry, doesn't he have the most Premier League appearances ever or something?
Him and Milner.
Boring fuck, though. Yeah. And on the sort of more sordid side, Zach, do you think, are these sort of, where do you put them in the pantheon of shaggers we've discussed? Who else have we done that's in that category? Maradona?
Wayne Rooney.
Wayne Rooney's a big shagger. Oh, Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods is leading the way.
I'd say Tiger Woods feels more sordid by quite some distance.
Yeah, but I think this one is quite creative, quite fun, unless you're obviously Yaya or Kylo's loved ones.
Yeah, unless you're in any way involved in the story, yeah. In which case, quite a lot of deception at play.
Yeah. It's a bit murder mystery, isn't it? I mean, costume drama.
Yeah, that's as positive a spin as you can get. All right, well, Tommy, thank you for coming and providing the positive spin.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, we'll have you back on for City Players and beyond.
The Gareth Barry episode coming up, I'm sure.
It's actually a four-parter. And Zach, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.